Thank you for joining us for this online service this morning. I hope you're able to allow the sunshine to flood the room where you're watching, and may the warmth of the spring sun shine and allow new opportunities of growth in God's love today. Welcome to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church for online service March 21st. I'm Pastor Randy Clausen, sharing ministry together with Pastor Nick Sherman and youth worker Taya Himes. Today we conclude our sermon series for the Lenten season, exploring spiritual practices in relationship with God. Later, Pastor Nick will share on the spiritual practice known as the Jesus Prayer, and it'll focus on Luke chapter 18. A few announcements. Once again this morning at 10:45, Pastor Nick will be hosting a time of visiting on Zoom for discussion of questions from the message or just to catch up with one another. Email Pastor Nick to join on that session. Also, Pastor Nick has weekly reflections from the Psalms, and you can receive those either by email or online, snail mail, and contact the church office or Pastor Nick for that. Number of gatherings are happening online for the church, and this morning at 11:30, grades 7 to 11, Sunday school are gathering. Later on Wednesday at 7 p.m., Middle of Life group is meeting. Kids Club meet Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Senior Youth Friday at 7. And next Sunday morning at 9:30, ages 3 to 6 Sunday school will be online. For access to these ministries, contact the office or youth worker Taya Himes. There are some other events coming up to let you know about. March 31st, the Mennonite Central Committee and Canadian Food Grain Bank are hosting an online event called The Human Face of Climate Change, an important topic for these days, and see the church bulletin for details. We're already making plans for the summer, and we hope to host two opportunities of day camp type experiences. Both of these, of course, will depend on public health measures. The first, St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church annual Vacation Bible Camp, will be July 19 to 23rd, and registration details will be forthcoming. Then later in August, the Silver Lake Mennonite Church Camp will host 3 weeks of day camp here at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. That'll be the second, third, and fourth weeks of August, and you can see Silver Lake's website for those details. Just a reminder that our services will remain online until further notice, and you can also check the bulletin for those updates and details. Our church staff continue to work from home most of the time, and please, if there's any need or concern, feel free to email or call us at home. For our call to worship this morning, I invite you to reflect on the words from Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, while our hearts long to be in your house, we seek you from our homes and other places. Inspire our hearts and minds to follow Jesus until that day when our final home is with you. Amen. Some music this morning by Aaron and Tommy Friesen. In my conversations with church members, particularly senior folks at homes, certainly hearing that many have already had their series of vaccines or those who have them scheduled, and we wish you God's blessings as you undertake that step to help prevent all of us from becoming ill. To the Christians in Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, in these days of the pandemic, when it becomes more difficult to express our thanks, forgive our short tempers, when so much of our lives has changed. We long for the touch of loved ones. We search faces that are masked. We try to identify familiar faces and friends. We turn to you, you who do not change, you who are faithful, you who forgive so generously. Lord, have mercy as we seek your face. God, do not hide from us your love in Jesus Christ. May he come with grace and love as we long for the rains of springtime. In this day and in this hour, we hold before you in our hearts those who face the challenges of isolation. We hold before you those who face physical health needs. For those who seek wellness of the soul. For those who struggle to make ends meet. God, we pray for those who work hard to provide what we need for daily living, the essential workers. Many of those who are unseen, but who provide the vital work that keep our economy and our lives functioning. We pray for one another as a faith community. We pray to be compassionate and loving for the sake of your kingdom, here on earth as it is in heaven. Grant to us courage for the facing of these days, that we may see you in one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again to Aaron and Tommy for sharing in music, and again the words on the screen, and God's blessings to you.
Today I'll be reading from Luke chapter 8, verses 9 to 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up at the heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
I was an occasional runner before all of this, but since the pandemic began, I've started running in earnest. They're always smaller distances. I'm still waiting for a quieter time to rise to Paul Adams' challenge to run a 10K, but in the meantime, it's been good to get out and go for a short run once or twice a week. As I've done this the past several months, I've begun to acquaint myself with some of the practices and theories related to running. One of them is this idea of having a running mantra. Mid and long distance runners will tell you that endurance is as much mental as it is physical. And so having a short phrase that you can repeat as you go makes a difference, or so some of them claim. And you can look some of these mantras up if you'd like. This is what you came for is the race day chorus of one well-known ultra-marathoner. How bad do you want it, repeats one athlete and professional running coach. Go faster, push harder, today define yourself is what another says over and over as she runs. Today, as we've heard, we're concluding our Lenten sermon series, which we've called Practicing What We Preach, in which I've been exploring and experimenting with different spiritual practices or spiritual disciplines, they're sometimes called. And this morning, again, as we've heard, focusing on a form of prayer called the Jesus Prayer. For those of you who might not be familiar with it, the Jesus Prayer is a short, repeated prayer. In its English form, it's just 12 words long, all told. And it goes like this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the prayer comes from a parable that Jesus tells in the Gospels. We just heard it read. It's a prayer of simple humility that's meant to contrast the puffed-up spirits of a self-righteous person. The setting for Jesus' story, as he tells it here, is in the temple, where people in that day would often go to pray. And as we imagine the scene, we first hear the prayer of a Pharisee, a religious teacher. It goes like this, or something like this. Thank you, God, that I'm not like other sinful people, especially like him over there. It might sound like an odd way of speaking or praying to us today, but we remember that it's a parable, and it's meant to reflect in a kind of exaggerated way an attitude of hearts that is common among people of faith. This tendency to try to justify ourselves by means of comparison. Wanting God's approval, we hold up to God all the good things that we've done with one hand, and with the other we point to the person sitting in the other pew whose life we consider as a mess. As Jesus continues this story, we see the camera shift away from the prideful Pharisee and hear another prayer being prayed, this time by a tax collector. In this story, the tax collector represents a notoriously crooked line of work and a category of people that nearly everyone in that society despised. And his prayer is different. There is no pretense about it. Jesus said that the tax collector stood at a distance, far away from the front of the sanctuary, at the back entrance, maybe, or even sitting in his car in the parking lots. The tax collector could hardly even bring himself to look up as he prays, because he knows what he's done. He knows his own hearts. As the tax collector begs God for forgiveness, we hear the prayer that he prays, the second prayer in the passage. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus then tells the people who are listening that day the meaning of this parable, knowing that not everyone will understand it. He tells them that the way to get to God, the way to God, is not by assembling a kind of scaffolding of good works that you can climb up to and get to heaven by. No, the way to God, he says, is to recognize what hasn't worked for you. The way to God is to come to terms with the ways that the life you've built has so often fallen apart, and to turn to God in the midst of that. All those who exalt themselves will be humble, Jesus tells them, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The tax collector's prayer, as we read it here in this parable, forms the basis for the Jesus prayer. At the heart of the prayer is that phrase, Lord, have mercy. It's a phrase you'll recognize, one that we hear often in the Gospels, when people call out to Jesus for help or healing. Lord, have mercy. And the Jesus prayer blends those elements from this parable and those stories together to form the prayer that I shared at the start. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Jesus prayer has a long history, particularly within Eastern Christianity. It emerged out of this desire to live in a spirit of continual prayerfulness, as the Apostle Paul invited people to do in his letters. As such, the Jesus prayer is a form of repeated prayer, which means that it's meant to be prayed over and over during the course of the day. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. For some people, that might be unsettling or foreign. In particular, if you were taught or believed that prayer ought to be something that you express in your own words, something that flows out of your own hearts, and not only by means of rote repetition. And I'd agree with that. But also say that repeated fixed-form prayers can also play an important part in the life of faith. We teach our children prayers like that, after all. Many of us say prayers like that at mealtimes or at bedtime. Most of us, I think, have prayed the Lord's Prayer more times than we could possibly count. The prayers we learn and recite by heart are prayers that we can easily grasp in moments when we're at a loss for words otherwise. And they're prayers that we'll still remember when we begin to forget. So I believe that there's room within the life of faith for both free-form and fixed prayers as a follower of Jesus. Some of us might even think of times and places where a short, repeated prayer like that might actually be more helpful as a way of speaking to God. It's believed that as a practice, the Jesus prayer had its origins in the early church. And in particular, in the tradition of the Desert Fathers and Mothers. I've shared about them before, but the Desert Fathers and Mothers were men and women who chose to live lives apart from society, wanting to dedicate themselves to a unique form of spiritual focus. And they sometimes relied on the charity of others, but often filled their days with manual labor, which would help them pay the bills and put food on the table. And it was very common, especially for them to make baskets, weave baskets, which they would bring to market every now and then and sell. A short, memorized prayer like the Jesus prayer could be repeated over and over while they wove their baskets. It could even be prayed to the rhythm of that work. We can picture them maybe stripping a stack of palm leaves, and reciting it quietly or silently as they went. Having done a lot of farm and manual labor in my own life, I found that way of praying to be a fit. Many of you I know have worked in industry and will know that you need to pay attention to what you're doing, or else quality control will be paying you a visit, or worse, you'll be paying a visit to the emergency room. Perhaps it has for you, but I've found that free form or conversational prayer with God just doesn't work when you're operating heavy machinery. But I have found that a simple, memorized, repeated prayer, like the Jesus prayer, could be prayed that way in those times. I found that I could pray that way as I'm leading the horses out to pasture and shoveling out the stalls, or as I'm circling the fields silently for hours on the tractor, or as I'm sorting materials on the assembly line in the warehouse. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Trust me when I say that I'm no saint, since that I was just as often thinking about something else, or thinking about my lunch, or thinking about what I was doing with my work, more importantly. But there have been times where, through a short repeated prayer like the Jesus prayer, I've discovered what those ancient Christians talked about when they said that their prayer and their work could become partners. Their prayer and their work could become partners. In her book, The Practice of Prayer, pastor and writer Margaret Gunther describes using the Jesus Prayer in that kind of way. She writes that the Jesus Prayer can turn manual labor into a kind of playful prayer. When I cut wood, she says, for the little stove in my workroom, I size up the log by the number of Jesus prayers it will require. Old dry logs can be dispatched in 5, while a tough piece of oak might demand 30. Not many of us have wood stoves or do basket making, of course, and increasingly few of us these days will work at farms or factories even. But most of us will have things like that, whether it's folding laundry or doing dishes or walking the dog or preparing meals or mowing the lawn. Most of us will have things that we can do while repeating a short prayer like this as we do them. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Gunther also writes about how the Jesus Prayer also lends itself to walking. Many of you have shared with me how important it's been this past year to be able to get outside and stretch your legs, even if it's just pacing back and forth in the hallways of your building. A number of you have also shared about how that time of walking is also an important time of prayer for you. And I've often shared how that's something I can relate to, because I think there's something unique about that repeated movement of your feet that requires some attention, but usually not your entire focus, that allows space for speaking and listening to God. If we had more time for this series, which I wish we had, perhaps we would have looked at the practice of praying while walking through a labyrinth. You can look that one up. In any case, I come back here to what I said about at the start about runners repeating self-motivational phrases as they go. There are all sorts of ways that running mantras are not the same as prayers, of course. But I think that in some ways the Jesus Prayer can function sort of like that. In the same way that runners are encouraged to each find a word or sentence that works just for them, we can take this form of short repeated prayer and pray other short lines from Scripture as well. You may know that the Jesus Prayer has often been prayed as a breath prayer, which means that it can be prayed along with the rhythm of one's breath. As you inhale, you pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, and then as you exhale, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you can do this with any number of passages from the Bible. You could say, the Lord is my shepherd, as you take a breath in, and I shall not want, as you breathe out. Or you could pray, nothing can separate me, as you inhale, and from the love of God, as you exhale. And then, like the runner, you could try to repeat it over and over through the course of your day. The Jesus Prayer can also be said in stillness, or as a way of stilling yourself and trusting God when you're anxious or overwhelmed. For those of you who might be tempted to make your prayers a performance or babble on and on as the Pharisees did, it helps us keep it short. If you're in physical pain, a short memorized prayer that's just a few words long can give you a kind of handle to hold on to, I think. And Margaret Gunther also writes that it's a good practice if you're prone to impulsive reactions. Like counting to 10, she writes, silently saying a few Jesus prayers can stave off angry outbursts or premature indiscreet utterances. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Unlike some of the pop inspiration and positive psychology that we see reflected in running mantras, the Jesus Prayer is at its heart a prayer of humility, a brokenhearted contrition. That, again, is the meaning of Jesus' parable. We're not welcomed into God's kingdom by our own means or merits, but because of God's mercy. Still, for some of you, the last two words of the Jesus Prayer about being a sinner might be uncomfortable or unhelpful, as true and as theologically sound as they might be, and certainly are. In particular, I'm thinking of anyone who's internalized a lifetime of criticism, or someone who's lived through 1,000 Sundays and hearing about all the wrong they've done and how they're still doing it wrong each week and need to be doing it better or differently, who actually needs more to hear that Jesus was a friend of sinners and that Jesus came and died so that sins could be forgiven. If that's you, I'll say that the Jesus Prayer has often been shortened. It might be said, might be prayed as, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Or abbreviated even further and simply repeated as, Lord, have mercy. To close, I'd invite you to practice it with me. As we've shared with each of these practices, it might not resonate after you've tried it, and that's fine. But if it does, I'd invite you to try to come back to it as a touchstone as you go about your week. Or you could consider, as I shared, choosing another beloved passage and trying to pray it in a similar way. The Jesus Prayer can be prayed quietly or out loud. For now, I'll suggest we do it silently. I'll say the prayer a few more times in a row and then pause for you to do so silently on your own. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Keep on running. It's been such a long race. I know so many of us are weary and so worn out, but we're getting there. We're close. Keep praying. Keep running. Amen. Invite Aaron and Tommy back up. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who helped out with today's service, and thank you for joining us again today. As we go from this time, we seek God's blessing on the gifts that have been given. We thank you for your continued supports, and we seek God's blessing as we go from this time into our week. Hear these words of blessing. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose hearts. May we not grow weary and lose hearts, but keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen.